Well, today I'm excited to let you know Pastor Justin is going to be bringing us the Word today. And if you've never heard Pastor Justin speak before, you're in for a treat. This man is a gifted teacher of the Lord. If I know of anybody who's got the gift of teaching on him, it's Justin. Whether he's trying to give he can't even give a Facebook post without teaching something. He's got the gift of a teacher. The anointing of the Holy Spirit's upon him. He brought it this morning. The first service was received so much. I know you're going to receive some as well. Put your hands together and welcome Pastor Justin as he comes to minister today and bring us the Word of the Lord.
This is amazing grace. Done for me.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? You looking good? You know you're looking good? Yeah? PG said yes. He know he's looking good always. That's why I try to follow after my pastor. Yeah, I'm looking good too. I don't care what you think. I'm so beyond excited to be bringing a word that I know is definitely from God. Pastor Gene has asked me about it a couple of times, and like last night he called me and said, you know, do you need anything? I just said, man, I just need to get this out because it is burning me up on the inside. And so I am just beyond excited to be bringing the word to you this morning. How many of you all have really enjoyed this series on grace? Pastor Gene did a series on grace, I think it may have been either last year or a couple of years ago, and it shows how much in grace he's grown, he and his family have grown personally, that as he brings it back around this time, he's still pulling out so much about grace. And I was talking with someone in between the services, and we were just talking about how, you know, for many Christians, our understanding about grace stops at salvation. But that's really only just the beginning. And what I really hope that to get across to you this morning is that grace impacts us in so many different ways. I recently read an article by Stephen Furtick, who is the pastor of Elevation Church. And the article was about grace, and it simply says this. When it comes to grace, people usually go wrong in one of two ways. We either think that we're too far gone for it and dismiss it, or we take it for granted and abuse it. While they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, they're actually just two different expressions of the same problem. They both view grace as weakness. Now, he goes on and he talks about how one group thinks that grace is too weak to transform them. And the other group thinks that grace is too weak to actually save them. And so what we actually end up with are two groups of people who are not living lives in the fullness that God ordained when he created Adam and Eve, or when Christ died on the cross, he wanted us to live lives in fullness, or when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and filled the 12, filled them in that upper room, he wanted us to have lives of fullness, but we don't live our lives like that. And so we realize that there's something missing, but we don't quite know what it is. But I've come to tell you this morning that grace is not weakness. Grace is power. Look at your neighbor and say, grace is power. I can't hear you. Somebody say, grace is power. Hallelujah. Grace is the very ability of God that is in you. It is in you. And you may not feel like it. You may be sitting there this morning saying, you know, Pastor Justin, you don't know my life. You don't know what I'm going through. And for you to stand here and tell me that the grace of God is within me, I need you to prove it. You're in the right place this morning. Hallelujah. So grace covers all of our lives. It's not just an either or kind of deal. Okay. Grace, is not just the power to save us, but not transform us. Because what would be the purpose of me coming forward and saying, hey, I accept Christ to be my Lord and Savior, but I'm not fundamentally changed at my core. I've accepted Christ, but I'm not different. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, grace is not just powerful enough to transform us, but not save us. Meaning, grace doesn't just change me, but not save me. Otherwise, why would I want to be any different than I am right now if I don't have any hope of going on to be with my Savior? Why? So grace covers every area of our lives, and we're going to be talking about some areas where grace really hits us this morning. I want to come to you this morning from a little bit of a different avenue as we talk about grace, because pastors Gene and TJ have done an amazing job explaining how we're righteous, how we're transformed by grace, talking about how the law of grace and how we're married to grace. And finally, last week, Pastor Gene really gave a really poignant message about how we are children of grace and how we should identify ourselves as sons and daughters. And as someone who was adopted himself, I understand that adoptive mindset where you don't want to do something wrong for fear that you may get punished. And many times what we do is we treat God the way that people in our lives have treated us. How many of y'all can ever remember a time where if you didn't clean your room up, your parents get mad at you? If you ain't raised your hand, I want to see you at the altar as soon as we're done. And so we treat God like this big angry dude up above the clouds, who's just waiting with thunderbolts to just strike us and smite us and smite us. We think God walks around with the sun that says, me love smiting. But that's not God, because we're covered by grace. We're no longer under the law. And the grace of God says, I love you regardless of whether you clean your room and eat your vegetables or not. I love you whether or not you tithe this Sunday and forget to tithe this Sunday. I still love you. You're still covered by grace. I love you whether or not you go and give that word that I've given you to give to someone or not. You're still covered by my grace. We can't relate to God based on our human relationships, because our human relationships have some varying degrees of flaw to them. But God wants to establish a perfect relationship with us. And this morning, as we talk about the title of Grace to Do, that is a topic that we're talking about this morning, we're talking about how grace is not simply God's pardon, but it's his power. And you may be asking, well, grace to do what? That's an incomplete sentence, teacher. I know. But the answer to the question is limitless. What is grace not the power to do? I've come to you this morning to tell you that grace is the power for you to do whatever it is that God has for you to do. Whatever God has anointed you to do, whatever you feel like God has called you to do, grace is the power over your life, in your life, through your life to do it. Anybody excited about grace this morning? So excited about grace. All right. So have you ever met somebody, a pastor, who you come in on Sunday morning, he gets up in the pulpit and he just chops the word up and makes it so simplistic that you can get excited about it and you can grasp it on Sunday morning. But even on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, it's still complex enough that every day God can pull back another layer of it so that it's complex enough for you to meditate upon the word for the rest of the week. That's grace. Have you ever met a worship leader who, as soon as they open their mouths, the Spirit of God begins to fall down? That's grace. Have you ever met someone? My wife is this kind of person. Have you ever met someone that people just love to be around? Like, if they see this person, they will run from the back of the church to the front just to say, hi, how you doing? Like, seriously, my wife, y'all, I love my wife. I love her to death. And I know that God has so much grace over her life, because people will just come to her and, hi, my name is Jenny, and I know I don't know you, but I want to tell you about every instance in my life. And so, like, they will tell my wife, like, the moment they were born, Like, I remember first seeing the light and the doctor said, hey, it's a girl. How many people remember the moment they were born? But people will tell my wife from then up till now, everything, everything. And I'm just like, babe, do you know them? Like, no. But that is the way that grace has manifested itself in my wife's life. And I've come to tell you this morning that the same grace that we see on display in our leaders every Sunday morning is the same grace that God wants to manifest in your life to change this world. So let's jump right on in. Our focal verses this morning, the first one comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. The second verse comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The first point this morning is that there is grace to stand strong. There is grace to stand strong. Now, let's talk about Paul here for a little bit. Paul is one of all of our favorite characters in the Bible. Paul is a very dynamic character. In that he starts off one way when we meet him, and he becomes very different over the course of his life. And, you know, he starts off this chapter, the verses prior to where we are now, and he's kind of talking about how he doesn't like to boast about the things that he's done and the things that he's experienced. He'd prefer to boast about what other people have experienced. And he talks about, I know a guy, whether in the body or not, went up to the third heaven and he saw all these mysteries. But me, I have a thorn in my flesh that I've asked God over and over and over and over again to take out. But then God jumps in and says, hey, listen, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So it's okay. Now, if anybody could have boasted in the Bible, it would have been Paul, aside from Christ. Because the things that Paul experienced, the things that Paul did in his life were really mind-blowing and quite remarkable. Now, that hit me, that kind of convicted me because, you know, Paul could boast, but when I cook something and it's not burnt and it looks halfway decent, then I snap a picture and put it on Facebook like, yeah, look what I did. That's right, party over here. Now, but that's just what we do, right, you know? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. What if Paul had Twitter? What would that look like? Well, me and my overactive imagination. Oh, yeah, it's about to get good. Paul's first tweet. Man, today I got a name change. Hashtag Saul, now Paul. Hashtag Damascus Road. Hashtag never riding a donkey again. His second tweet. Had a praise party in jail tonight. So loud the angels joined in and broke us out. Hashtag JC will make you. Hashtag jump, jump. Hashtag break every chain. And my favorite one. Shipwrecked and snake bitten today. I didn't die. Hashtag won't he do it? Hashtag yes he will. Hashtag praise break. But if Paul had any reason to boast, he could have written books and chapters on all of the things that God did in his life and allowed him to do through him into the lives of others, but he didn't. And, you know, I thought about this a lot, and God just really enforced upon me that, you know, when God came to him and said, my power is made perfect in your weakness, it's not that Paul was focusing in on what he was not good at or the things that he had going on in his life that he didn't feel caused him to be strong. Paul was a guy who simply knew his limitations. He knew his limitations. And when God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, there's a difference between living a life of humility and a life where you focus in on your strengths or your weaknesses. If you focus too much on your strengths or your weaknesses, you're living a life of pride. Because focusing too much on one or the other means that you're not focusing enough on Christ. And when you're humble about yourselves and you say, okay, yes, I'm a greeter because I always have snappy jokes, snappy comebacks. I can start a conversation with really anybody. I know all of the latest handshakes. I give good high fives and good hugs, and I am an artist at passing out the bulletins. I spin them around on my finger before I give them to people as they come in. On the other end, oh, I could never be a greeter. I don't like people. My hands, they get really clammy when I shake hands. So, you know, people shake my hand, their hand comes back kind of wet. I'm sorry about that. Can't help it. And I just, I can't do it. I can't do it. Pastor Susan, I'm sorry. Please take me off the schedule effective immediately. But what's happening? Over here, I'm so proud that I can spin a bulletin on my finger. Over here, I'm afraid because somebody might walk away with sweaty hands when they shake my hand. But right here is where God says, I want to take this and this, and I want to use it for my glory. But you're too busy focusing on your bulletin tricks over here, and you're too busy focusing on your lack of supposed qualifications over here for me to do anything with it. And a life of humility basically says, God, I don't care what my strengths are. I don't care what my weaknesses are, but God, I want you to take everything in me and use it for your glory. We just sang the song "With Everything." I love that song. Because to me, it just says, God, I am holding nothing back from you. God, I want you to take everything in me, the good stuff, the bad stuff, and just use it for your glory. Because there is somebody in your life who needs to see you be used by God. There is somebody in your life who doesn't want. There's somebody in your life who needs to see Christ in you. And to withhold that from them, it's criminal. And we have no excuses. We have no excuses at all. We have to live lives of humility. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. To me, that just really underscores the fact that for us to say that we understand ourselves is not true. Yes, I may be strong in this area. I may be weak in this area. But as far as God wants to use me, my weakness, quote unquote, might be my biggest strength in the gospel. So what? You have an addiction. Give it to God and let God take that addiction and make you stronger for him and to reach more people than you could have if you'd been relying on your strengths of organization. So what? You can't handle money. Give it to God and let God work through you and grow you into a person who can teach others how to come back from where you were to get to where you are. We have no excuses. Paul understood that for him to go through life, he needed to be able to stand strong. And God has given us the ability, grace, power to stand strong regardless of our weaknesses, regardless of our limitations, regardless of our strengths. God's command to us is to stand strong. Paul knew what it was to stand strong. But another guy who knew what it was to stand strong, who lived a life full of grace, is Stephen. I don't know how many of you have ever read the story of Stephen in Acts 6 and 7, but if you have not, he only gets two chapters, but those two chapters are jaw-dropping in their just fabulousness for Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about Stephen. So the apostles were busy really getting the church started, following the blueprint that Christ left for them. They were out there, they were getting it done, but there were a lot of other things that needed to be done, like who was going to cook the food? You know, who was going to go pull the water from the well, or who was going to go make the salad or chop up the bread or make the fried taters. And so they said, okay, we need some help. So some men are brought to them. They said, okay, we want you to go out and find some men who are spirit-filled men. And so the search committee went out and they found some guys who were spirit-filled and they brought them before them. And they list off all of these guys' names. But when they get to Stephen's name, they don't just list him with a comma. They say, Stephen, a man full of the Spirit. First time I read that, that really caught my eye. Like, what is so special about this guy that he got his own designation amongst all these other Spirit-filled men? We find out in a little bit. And so they lay hands on them, and then they dispatch him. And these guys, I think about them kind of like kind of as deacons. But these deacons don't put on suits and then just sit down in the congregation and just say amen to the pastor. These guys, Stephen, went out into the community. This dude was laying hands on the sick. They were recovering. He was casting out demons. He was performing miracles. He was feeding the hungry. He was giving water to the thirsty. To the people that he was ministering to, he might as well have been an apostle. Because he was doing things by the same power, by the same spirit, under the same operation of grace that the apostles were doing. Now, I'm going to go a little bit off topic this morning, because our pastors, our leaders, equip us to do the work of ministry. The grace that they are under is the same grace that we are under. They cannot do it by themselves. They cannot. Pastor Gene and Pastor Mel can't walk around and shake everybody's hands. Why do you think they push us into life groups and into GAP and into connect groups on Wednesday nights? Because we need each other to do things for the gospel. And we can't have 20% of the people in church doing 80% of the work. That burns people out. You wonder why folks don't want to come to church. Well, they ask me to do stuff Monday through Friday. How many people on your committee? Just me. If you are under grace and the same anointing that flows through your leadership flows into you, what is your excuse? What is your excuse? So we have Deacon Stephen here, and he's just getting it. He's just doing it. And the Sanhedrin, they don't like it. So they arrest him. And he goes to stand before the Sanhedrin council. And I can imagine that he and the Holy Spirit were having a discussion. Holy Spirit says, oh, so Stephen, you know, you're probably going to die, right? Stephen's like, yeah, I think I'm probably going to die. Holy Spirit says, well, you want to really blow their minds before you go? Stephen says, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so Stephen is in chains, and he's standing before this delegation of Sanhedrin council members, and he begins to give an argument that systematically deconstructs everything that they think they know about Christ and about God. And these people get mad. See, that's what happens when we face conviction from Christ, but our hearts are not quite ready to receive it. Instead of taking that conviction and it leading to confession, that conviction, we get angry about it. Because we're still proud about the way that we're living, and we refuse to let Christ into our hearts. So they got angry with them, and they decided, hey, let's stone this dude. Now, this is my favorite part of the story. Because as Stephen is getting stoned, this guy who stood strong under the grace of God, this guy who stood strong in the midst of, I'm sure his body was feeling weak, but his spirit would not let him go down. This guy is standing there. These guys are throwing rocks at him, stones at him. And he sees heaven. That's grace. He sees Christ standing at the right-hand side of God. That's grace. And my favorite part of this story is the last line about Stephen's life. It doesn't say, and Stephen died with a smile on his face. It says, and he fell asleep. That's grace. For him to be able to fall asleep in the midst of getting chunked by stones, his flesh getting ripped from his body, that is grace at work. That is the ability of God that helped him to stand strong. Pastor Gene hit on this before I got up here. And one spirit, one voice. There are people here who are hurting. You're feeling weak. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's okay to feel weak. Lance Armstrong's organization had a bracelet that they called it Live Strong. But if God could send down, rain down promotional bracelets for us from heaven this morning, he would say, saints, stand strong. I have given you the power. I have given you the authority. I have given you my very ability to stand even when your body doesn't even want to roll out of bed in the morning. I've given you the strength. I've given you the ability to stand even when everything that you're looking at is looking back at you with its tongue stuck out. I've given you the ability to stand in the face of grief and agony. Stand strong. Second thing, grace helps us to be obedient. Grace to be obedient. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to all ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It's Titus 2, 11, and 12. For it is God who worketh both in you to will and to do in order to fulfill his purposes. Philippians 2, 13. So, what does that mean for you and me? That means that because I have the ability to obey, because that's basically what that means. Grace to obey means I now have the ability within me to hear the voice of God and the ability to follow after what he's asking me to do. That means that the same sin that I came in with this morning, because God has given me the ability to obey his voice, I don't have to deal with it when I leave here. That same addiction, I don't have to deal with it when I leave here. The very things that I've convinced myself that just cannot be helped in my life, because I now have the ability to obey the word and the voice of God in my life, I have no excuses. The power of God is in me. The anointing of God is upon me. The yoke must be broken because the ability of God's grace in me to be as Jesus was. And see, one of the things that I hear so much when we talk about Jesus living a sinless life, it wasn't because he was God, because he was also man. Jesus chose. Because the Bible says every temptation known to man, Jesus faced it, but he overcame it. And that same power lives in us, that same grace that Jesus walked the earth in all of his years. We have access to that same grace. And for many of us, it's lying dormant because we've believed the lie. We have believed the fib that I can't control myself. I can't do it. This is just so hard. Pastor Gene, please pray for me again. And again, and again, I just can't. You have received the grace to obey. And it teaches us to say no to all ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We have no excuse, myself included. Myself included. When I want to go back for that extra slice of cake, yeah, ain't you trying to lose some weight? Hey, leave me alone. But we have received the Spirit that will enable us to obey. It is God's very ability. Go to that next slide for me, please. Why have we been given, or why do we have God's ability to be obedient? Because Pastor Gene told us in the first message of this series, we have been declared righteous. And so when Jesus got up on the cross and he emptied his account and he emptied our accounts and he gave us everything that he had accumulated in his account, God looked at us and saw that we were righteous. And then God said, yes, now they have the grace to obey me. They shouldn't turn their backs on me anymore because they have the grace. They have my ability to obey. Because we've been made right with God and are in right standing with him, he gives us power daily to desire right things. Does that mean that you're never going to want to do anything else bad in your life? No. Does that mean that you will do everything right from right now through the time that you go on to be with God? No. But what it means is you have the ability within you to choose the right thing. You have the ability within you to choose the right thing. And even as I'm thinking about it right now, choosing the right thing, you know, sometimes we get paralysis by analysis. We come up against a decision that we just really don't know what to do about. And so we struggle with it. But to me, this says that we have the grace within us Therefore, we have the ability in every instance to make the right choice. Y'all, if you are not getting more and more excited about grace, then I don't know what's going to do it. Because this grace is so, so, so amazing. Now, let me talk to you really quickly about obedience versus sacrifice. And yeah, don't throw stones at me until you let me finish. Okay. All right. So let's say that I need a car and I get down on my knees and I'm like, God, I need a car. Nothing fancy, not a Lexus, not a BMW. You can save that for my second blessing. But I just need something that I can get around in, get my family from point A to point B, get up here to the church to do stuff I need to do up here. I just need, you know, just something, just a little get around vehicle. Before I can get up, I hear God's voice saying, go talk to Brother Dennis and Joyce. Go over to their lot. I'm like, nah, that couldn't be that easy. Because we know that, you know, getting things stuff from God is like super hard, right? So I'm like, nah, it can't be that easy. So I just kind of shuffle it to the back of my brain. So I come to church this morning, and before Pastor TJ can say the prayer partners are coming forth, I've already beat them to the side, and I'm waiting on them to get there. I'm like, what took y'all so long? And so I'm like, I need you to pray with me because I'm believing God for a car. So would you all please pray with me for a car? And so they pray. And before they're, when they get finished, Brother Pastor Tom Harlan comes to me and says, hey, you know, Dennis and Joyce, they have a lot. You know, they have a lot. And we've seen people go to them and, you know, people who didn't think they could get a car, they've been able to work with. Not all of them, but it's just wanted to put something in your ear for you to think about. And I'm like, okay, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, see, people trying to lead me astray. I'm trying to be obedient to Christ, and these people just talking about this stuff. I'm not trying to hear it. Monday, I decide that I'm going to definitely get answers from God. So I wake up Monday morning, and I declare a 30-day fast. Hallelujah. No chips, no cookies, no soda. No juices, no white sugar, no light brown sugar, no dark brown sugar, no artificial sugar, no refined sugar, no radio, no orange juice, no corn dogs, and no TV except for TBN. Hallelujah. I come back 30 days, and my legs are all wobbly. Pastor TJ's like, man, what happened to you? I'm like, man, I've been fasting for 30 days with my one favorite food group. He was like, dude, you look bad. He said, did you get the answer from God that you were looking for? I'm like, no. So I'm mad up here during worship. Like, lift your hands. I'm like, lift your hands. Leave me alone. And after church, because I am so mad with God, and Brother Dennis comes up to me and after church and he's like, hey, I heard that you were looking for a vehicle. And during service, my wife and I just really felt led from God to come up to you and just say, hey, just come look at our lot. We're not making any promises at all, but we just feel like you should come and look at what we have. And if there's any way that we can help you, then we're going to help you the best way that we can. But we just want to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. Now, by this point, I'm standing back with my little attitude face on. I'm like, and so I have a discussion with myself. I say, self says what? I said, self, do you realize this is three times with increasing directness that we've heard to go to Dennis and Joyce's lot? Self says, yep, you big dummy. And I say, self, do you think that this is really God telling us to do this? Self has said, I decided that the first time. It was you. And I say that to say this. There's nothing wrong with fasting. Fasting is an integral part of growing as a Christian and maintaining that loving relationship and that perfecting that relationship with God. One of my favorite times of the year is when at the beginning of the year, we open up with a corporate time of prayer and fasting. And I mean, it's always so rewarding. It just does so much in declaring a fast in your life. There's nothing wrong with it. There's good things that come out of it. It puts you back into alignment with God. But sometimes we are so quick to give stuff up when God has only said, do this. I've already set aside provisions for your blessing. Just do this. Just do this. And because we've become so conditioned to thinking that to obtain something from God, we have to be on our knees, basically crawling to the throne, on our knees, knees and knuckles bloody. Oh, God, I'm so unworthy. But I come to you the best way I know how. And God is like, get up. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my son. You are my daughter. Get up. You don't have to crawl to me. Get up. You are my son. You are my daughter. Before you sacrifice anything, just obey me. I think about Abraham. Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his son. Before he could do it, God said, stop. There's a ram in the bush. God wanted to see how obedient Abraham would be before he allowed him to sacrifice Isaac. Don't be so quick to say, I'm sacrificing all of this for God. And if God hasn't, when God hasn't told you to sacrifice it, but God has said first, obedience is better than sacrifice. That's just the word. Now, the last point this morning is grace is the power to do. It's the power, it's the ability to do the work of God. And as we see in our second focal verse from Ephesians chapter 4, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And shortly after these verses, we begin to see how when Christ ascended, he left gifts to men for the equipping of the saints. We know those as the fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And I believe wholeheartedly that God still has a purpose for them because I haven't read in the Bible yet that he said they can go away. And so I started thinking about our natural gifts and our natural abilities. All of us are good at something. All of us are good at something. And you, sometimes we take those abilities and we forge out a good life for ourselves in business or in teaching or in whatever it is you do. Housewives, you all have so much ability. Oh, my Lord, God bless you. God has really graced you all with so much. And I applaud you. I really do applaud you. But in actuality, if we look at the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us, it's that we can minister the gospel effectively. Ephesians 3:7 says, I became a minister of this gospel by the gift of grace. So when we talk about ministering, what we're basically talking about is serving, us being able to serve others the gospel. So that means that when Pastor Gene comes up on Sunday mornings and gives us the word, he is serving us. He's ministering to us. When the worship band is practicing for Christmas music or just any other kind of music, they're serving us. When the greeters come in and they're at the doors and they are happy and they're smiling and they're saying good morning and they're welcoming our guests, that's grace at work in their lives. They're serving us. When the clean team comes in and nobody knows they're here and they're cleaning up the stuff that we leave behind on Sunday morning, without anybody just standing up and saying, hey, brother, sister, so-and-so, thank you for cleaning the church. They don't do it to be recognized. They do it because they don't want us to come into church and be so consumed with what's down at our feet, old coffee cups and programs, that we can't give God worship. That's grace at work in their lives. There is grace for that. The iStore says there's an app for that. But God says there is grace for that. There is grace for every single thing that you can do in your life. There is grace for you to conduct an effective meeting. There is grace for you to be the best trash man or trash woman that you could be. There is grace to be the best teacher you can be. There is grace to be the best cashier or backstuffer that you can be. There is grace. God's grace is not just over when you accept him to be your Lord and your Savior. It is just the beginning. And we cut it off. we cut it off. Because we say, God, okay, you've saved me and you've changed me. That's good. But God is saying, no, 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 no. I saved you. I transformed you. Now I've given you power. I've given you my ability. What are you doing with it? Why are you sitting there on it? Every one of you in here has something that you're good at. Every one of you. You use it in your jobs every day. You use it in your classrooms every day. If you're a student, you use your intelligence in your classroom with your teacher every day. How much more can the grace of God be poured out upon you if you would use it to effectively serve the gospel to those who don't know Jesus Christ? There's grace for serving in every area. Releasing this grace begins with knowing the word. You have to know the word. Because when you know what you know, what you know about what Christ says about you, it changes the way that you interact with everything in your world. It changes you. Oh, there's grace for every part of our lives. And I know that there are some people here. There are people here, and one person talked to me about this in between services, so I know that it's the Holy Spirit. There are people here this morning. God has given you a ministry. God has given you a ministry idea, either something to be done in the church or something to be done outside the church. Maybe it's just a prayer group on your lunch break at your job. But you're afraid. And I get it. I get it. Sometimes God gives us a vision for our lives and it just completely blows us away. And we sit there and we're thinking about how are we going to do this? I can't do it by myself. Well, God never meant for you to do it by yourself. And so what you have to do is get in the Bible, learn God's promises, live God's promises, and begin to bring that ministry out of you in faith, believing that God has called you to do it. When you're acting in faith and you are confessing the word of God over your life, grace will come out of you and cover you so that what you're doing will be a success. I'm not saying it won't be hard. I'm not saying that you won't have to claw and scrap and fight for every inch of ground that you get on your way to success. But because of the grace of God upon your life, success will come. I remember my wife, she first started teaching. It was a long, long road for her to get to teaching. But once God really put things into motion, things just shot off. I mean, It was amazing to me. And I remember telling her a couple of times before she started teaching, and even during some hard times while she was teaching, that your good days will be better than anybody else's. And your bad days will not be so bad that you will not want to ever go back again. That is grace. And I remember she would come home from work, and back then I had a job, and it was a labor, okay? Not a labor of love, just a labor. And she would come home and she'd be so excited, just giddy and stuff. And I'd be like, so? Yeah, I was ugly. I'll be the first to admit it. I was jealous because I told her, I want what you have. When God had been telling me, hey, you should be a teacher, and I wouldn't even fast because I was afraid of what the answer would be. But I would see this in her every day, and I got more and more just jealous. I'm like, I want that. I want that. What you have in your job with those kids, I want that feeling. I want that assuredness. I want that comfort. And when I got hired on by Web City, there was one day that I was teaching my class, and my classrooms are very, very, they're loud and they appear to be disorganized, but to me, that's the way that my kids, that they can learn through my disorganization and through my mistakes and through my loudness and joking and sometimes breaking into spontaneous song. That's just the way that we do it. And God brought it back to my memory. Your good days are better than anybody else's. Your bad days never run you away to where you don't want to come back. I'm still young in my teaching career. I have so many obstacles, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am covered by grace every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week. From the time I park my car in the parking lot, there's grace. To the time I open the door and say peace to the kids on the bench, there's grace. As I walk down the hallway to my classroom, there's grace. As I speak to my coworkers, there's grace. As I sit at my desk and look at my classroom, I see grace there and grace there and grace there and grace there. There is grace because I'm doing what God wants me to do. There is grace because I am living out God's dream for my life. And it's not just for me. It's for every one of you in every seat in this place. God has grace for your lives. But I want to take it a little bit further. Because, yeah, Pastor Justin, it's great to say that God has grace for me to stand strong and grace for me to be obedient and grace for me to do what God wants me to do. But dude, you don't know my life. I'm struggling. God gave me a vision for my life and my hopes and dreams have been dashed. You don't know my life. Coming to me talking about grace, 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 grace. I hate getting out of bed in the morning. I feel every second of every day like I am dying. You tell me to lift my hands in church. I'm like, brother, this is all I can give you this morning. There is grace that restores. There is grace that redeems. There is grace that will allow you to throw that monkey off your back and lift up your hands and give God glory. Because your victory is coming. There is grace to restore your visions and your dreams. There is grace to resurrect your life. There is grace for you to speak to that mother or that father whose child has gone away from Christ. There is grace for you to talk to your coworker or your friend that you've never really had a faith-based conversation with before. But there is grace. There is God's ability in your life to point them to Jesus. There is grace in your life to be an example to someone of who God is and what God can do in their lives. I would say that there is no area in your life that grace cannot touch. And God wants to touch every area of your life with His grace. We've got to get it. Grace is God's ability. It's amazing. It is amazing, amazing grace. And the most amazing part about grace is not simply what it allows us to do. The most amazing thing about grace is who it allows us to be. Children of the Most High God. Co-heirs with Christ. Full of the same power that Christ walked the earth with. Marianne Williamson, in one of her most famous quotes, said, "Our biggest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our biggest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure." Right now, I want you to look at yourself in your mind's eye. And regardless of what you see, you think you see when you look at yourself, in the name of Jesus, I decree that that image will change. And you will begin to see yourself as a person who is powerful enough and covered by enough grace, not just to see your own world changed, but to change the atmosphere around you. Because that's what God's grace does. As the musicians come, I want to show you just a quick video. I believe Pastor Gene showed this video when he did the Grace series before. But I saw it, and it really just it hit me all over again. So if you would, please, we'll close after we watch this video.
Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
It saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier.
Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was
broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused. Just lost.
But now.
I'm sober.
Happy.
Peaceful.
Grateful.
Free.
Alive.
Forgiven.
I'm found.
I was blind.
To God.
To faith.
To love.
Pero ahora, yo veo.
I see that I matter.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to be free. And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that the hour I first believed.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, please. As we've been talking over the course of this series about grace, we've learned so much about how grace wants to be a part of who we are, and grace wants to define us. And today we've learned about how grace can help us to do the things of God. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're just saying, hey, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that I'm worthy. I don't think that I'm not quite there yet. Or maybe you've just say, I don't know. I want to know who this Christ is. How do I know this Christ so that I can obtain this grace? Or maybe you say, I walked away from grace a long time ago. But I just want to know how I can get back into the covering of God. Well, it's simple. The only thing that you have to do this morning is just lift your hand. And so if you would like to accept Christ and know him as your Lord and Savior, maybe for the first time, or if you want to come back to him with only my eyes looking out this morning, we want to invite you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. So will those of you who raised your hands repeat after me, and as a body of believers, we're going to support you by repeating this as well. Just say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I accept your salvation. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, my King, and I will live my life for you. Let's give them a round of applause, church. Come on. Now, accepting Christ is the first step, but it's not the last one. Number one, to support you, you'll need to find a good Bible-believing, Bible-based church to help support your growth. God didn't mean for us to live this life and live this walk by ourselves. We would love to have you here at Destiny, but if there's another church that God lays on your heart, we just want you to be hooked up with some people to live life with you. Secondly, at the end of service, we'll have some people back in the Welcome Center with a gift for you, some things like a Bible and some things to get you started on your way into Christianity. We're so excited for you. Heaven is rejoicing. Now, how many of the rest of you can say, I see now that I need more of the grace of God in my life? I do. Because now I understand that this grace of God breaks chains. It breaks yokes. It breaks my shackles. It gets rid of my addictions. It helps me to overcome my sin. It helps me to overcome my self-doubt. It helps me to get rid of everything that stands in the way of me being and living the life that Christ wants me to live. So if that's you this morning, if you believe that you need more grace, I want to invite you to just lift your hands and just come down and join us at the front this morning. We're going to do a song. Everybody just get up for me. We're going to do a song that says, Break Every Chain. And as we do this song, I would like for you just to imagine yourself literally cloaked and covered by the grace of God. It is His grace. It is His grace.
Come on, let's go. How many of you can hear the chains falling? Come on, how many of you can hear the chains falling? I just believe that we are covered, so covered by the grace of God, that starting tomorrow, when you get out of bed in the morning, you're going to look at life differently. You're going to look at your life as covered and cloaked by the presence and the grace of God. You are powerful beyond measure, church. I want to pray over you before we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us grace to cover every area of our lives. Grace to stand strong when we're weak. Grace to be obedient to your word, to your will. And grace to do whatever it is that you've called us to do. God, our lives are going to be changed forever in the name of Jesus. We thank you now. Amen. Now listen, you are new. God has made you new. If you receive that this morning, just give God a round of applause. Come on. Amen. You all have a blessed week. Touch somebody for Christ this week. Amen. Y'all be blessed.